is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Only Believe. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with Glory to His Name, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Where my Savior died, down and from cleansing of sin I cried. He was there to my heart, was the blood applied, and glory to His name. Oh, I say glory, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Oh, He was there to my heart, was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Fountain that cleansed from sin. You see, I am so glad that I entered in. Oh, that Jesus saved me and keeps me clean. Oh, and glory, glory to your name. Blood applied, and I sing glory, glory to your name. Glory to His name.
30 says, and Jesus, now he was on his way to see Jairus' daughter, right? But this woman intervened. And Jesus, immediately knowing him in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, that's the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know, you see this crowd, and you ask us, who touched you? Everybody's trying to touch you, I suppose they said. Everybody wants to touch you. I suppose some people were touching him, saying, you know, he can make me rich if I just touch him. The spirit he has in him will make me a rich man. I suppose other people said, well, maybe I'll touch him and I'll find the girl of my dreams or the boy of my dreams. I don't know. But Jesus didn't stop for anybody but this woman. You wouldn't have thought he cared about her because, after all, she was going to be dead pretty quick anyway. Why? He had more influential people to see. Why, he had Jairus. Man, at least go to that guy's house. Forget about this woman. Go see Jairus' daughter. If he can do something there, man. Jairus probably, he might turn the whole synagogue around. Everybody might start believing in Jesus just because Jairus does. But you see, Jesus knew his future. He knew Jairus wasn't going to turn around people. He could see what was going to be happening to him. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be spit upon and mocked and suffer on the cross. No matter what he did for Jairus' daughter or this woman or anybody. Why? His life was futile. What could he do to save himself? He couldn't even, you know, they said on the cross, the people mocked him and they said to him when he was on the cross and serving, they said, well, you've saved others. Why don't you save yourself? He couldn't even save himself. That's what they said about him. And he looked around, verse 32 says, about to see her that had done this thing. He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, verse 33 says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Told him all the truth. The woman already knew something had happened inside her. Before Jesus hadn't said a word. She touched his garment and she had been healed and was whole. And she was going to live and she felt healthy and alive and vibrant. She knew what had happened in her already. And it was too good. Okay, she was about to, I'm sure, going to do a little jig dance. She was going to celebrate. I'm sort of reading into the Bible there. I shouldn't, but wouldn't you? If you'd just been healed and you'd been to every doctor in the country about it, and they all said, I'm sorry, nothing can heal you. Well, something did. Jesus did. And all she had to do was just touch a little bitty piece of his garment. Verse 34 says, and he said unto her, daughter, he called her his daughter. He didn't even know the lady. Why did he call her daughter? Why didn't he say woman? He knew everything. Why didn't he call her by her name? Or why didn't he ask her her name? He called her daughter. Now, this is a real relationship you have to understand about. If Jesus has just healed you of a dread disease, and you fall down at his feet, and he says to you, son or daughter, that's pretty important, isn't it? You're one with him. You become his family. How would you like to instantly become the family, part of the family of Jesus? That's what my friend said. I pray to Jesus and nothing happens. He hates me. Wow.
But this woman, she just touched his garment, and she was healed. And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Well, she was his daughter. She wasn't only healed, she had become the daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's better than being healed, isn't it? She had eternal life. Now, things had occurred in her heart and mind that I cannot even fathom. Well, I can, because they happened to me back many years ago when I was about 17 or 16 years old when I came to know Jesus. Same thing happened to me. I became his son. I had a new life. But verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain. In other words, some people came. Members of the synagogue's house. Which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Wow. Jairus was walking with Jesus to his house. But this woman intervened. There's no time, was there? There's no time. His daughter was dying. And then these people came up and said, Jairus, sir, your daughter's already dead. You don't need to trouble the master. You don't, the rabbi anymore, Jesus anymore. He can't do a thing for her now. Too late. 36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He knew that knowing that his daughter was dead, they told him, they just come to him, your daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. He needn't come now, it's too late. It struck fear in him. I'm telling you, friends, when you have a loved one, and they die, and you're hoping they'll live, and you're oh, it's such a tragic event. It's so hard to accept. Those of you who have lost loved ones, I know how you feel. It's tough. Jesus knew that. He knew what Jairus felt like. So he said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be fearful. Only believe." Cast out your fear. Only believe. Now, folks, whatever your circumstance is, if you're a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, then believe that he can take you out of those circumstances, that he can heal you, that he can heal your loved one, that he can put your marriage back together, that he can give you a better job, that he can do anything for you that you need. Jesus didn't come to this world so you could be poor. And I mean, you might be poor, but you can even do God's will even then. Be happy even with being poor. But that's not why he came. He would love for you to be prosperous and succeed. And he suffered, verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him except save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. So he told, okay, he said, I'm going to go to the house of Jairus. And he asked Peter and James and John to go with him. He didn't want the whole crowd. He just asked for those three. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Boy, they were wailing. They were crying. He got to the house and he saw that. And I'm sure that Jairus was brokenhearted. He wanted to do what Jesus said, and he was doing it. He believed. But I'm sure fear tried to come in. The fear that his daughter would never wake up. She was dead. She was gone. That fear must have tried to grip him. But Jesus had told him, only believe. And there they were. And everything was tumultuous and, I mean, chaotic, and People were crying and wailing. The girl had just died. Verse 39 says that when he was coming, when Jesus came in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Why are you making such a big deal out of this? He said, this little girl, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Now think about that. The atheist would say, well, she's dead. Her body's it's already rotten. Give it time, it'll go back to the earth or the dust the way it was. We all will, and when you won't wake up, you're not going to live on. There's not going to be an eternal life or any kind of life anywhere. You're just dirt. You return to dust. But Jesus said here, this girl was not dead, although she appeared to be, but she was only sleeping. Verse 40 says, and they laughed him to scorn. They've never heard of such a thing. They've never seen such a thing. And here he was saying, why are you making such a big deal out of this? The girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. They knew. Who does he think he is? He's not a doctor. He's not. He doesn't know. Of course she's dead. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. So they laughed at him, but he told them, go outside, get out, move out. You don't believe? Well, but remember, the father had believed. Remember that? The father went to Jesus. The father says, my daughter will live if you put your hands on her. He believed. So Jesus, the others were mocking. He said, well, go outside. Leave us alone. But he stayed with the mother and the father. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And of course, he had three of the disciples with him. And they went in where she was lying in repose. Dead. That's what they said. 41. And he took the damsel, that's a little girl, by the hand and said unto her, Talithi kumi. Which is, the verse says here, being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He took her hand. She was supposedly dead. And he said, young girl, I am telling you to rise up. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Don't you know they were surprised? And this girl obviously was healed of her affliction. She was a 12-year-old girl, and she was probably happy as a lark. She got up probably smiling, looked at them, and don't you know they were happy? And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, why didn't he want anybody to know it? He wasn't trying to get credit. The ruler of the synagogue, he should have said, now you go out and tell all the synagogue and the Sanhedrin, so I won't be crucified, so I'll be saved. You know, I don't want them to crucify me, so you go out and tell them. Tell everybody you know. Jesus said, don't tell anybody what happened here. But you know, my friends, Think about it. Those who have ears and eyes to see and hear would have known about it. How about the crowd that he sent out outside that were lamenting the death? And suddenly the little girl, I'm sure she went outside to see them and said, hey, I'm okay. They knew. But there's no record of what they did. I don't think they did anything. I don't think anything happened to them. But the Bible says over and over that the gospel and the things of Jesus are for those who have eyes to see and ears that hear. Not everybody does. Not everybody knows about this. Not everybody wants to see, but they could have seen. The little girl was dead, they said, but now she's alive. But they probably began to talk to each other and say, oh, she wasn't dead. She was just sleeping. We made a mistake. You know, sometimes the breath is so light that the doctors say, well, you know, they're gone. The doctor made a mistake. That's all. Now, friends, this verse has a lot of meaning. There's the healing, of course. Jesus is the great healer, isn't he? He really is. He will heal you. He can heal. He heals in every generation. And those pastors who say to you now, well, Jesus used to heal, but there's no healing now. That was a miracle that happened back then. That's pretty silly. Jesus can heal in every generation. And he healed in the Old Testament. You can go there and find out on the several accounts of healing. And here he raised somebody from the dead. You can read about Lazarus too being raised from the dead. And he healed. Jesus is alive today. He's alive, and he'll do whatever he wants to do. And if you ask him to do it for you, he will hear you. Ask, and ye shall receive. That's what Jesus said. Ask, and you'll receive. He didn't say, ask, and I'm probably going to be busy, and there are going to be other people, you know, pushing at me, trying to touch me and trying to get me to pay attention to them. I'm probably not going to be able to tend to your problem, but I might. So you just pray and ask, and maybe it'll happen. No, he didn't say that. He said, ask, and you'll receive. And the Bible tells us that people don't receive because they don't ask. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You receive not because you ask not. Well, you know, it's been my experience, my friends, that when I don't pray for something, I usually don't get it. When I don't pray for something, I usually don't get it. I was telling you last week about going in to a New Age occult bookstore to do some research, and I didn't pray. I hadn't prayed, you know, for several hours, and I just pulled my car up in the parking lot and went right in there. And I'm telling you, my friends, I had no sooner got in there and began to read the material in that huge, it was the largest New Age occult bookstore in the world. And I began to read, I think it was a book or it might have been a magazine. I can't remember now, but I'll tell you one thing. I felt like I was being oppressed.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.